Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside a new co-host for now. If you haven't checked out our last episode, we talk more in depth about it. This is what Chris Kuchar filling in for 10 while he's dealing with some personal things. And the star of the show today, Feyenoord, on loan to Fortuna Sittard, my boy Cole Bassett. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
First guest of the new season. I mean, it's special, isn't it? I mean, you can't lie.
Definitely.
When I got the invite, I jumped right on it. You know, other interview requests, I'm a little hesitant. But yeah, Chump Chat's always my number one podcast to go to.
That's what I love to hear. To be honest, though, throwing it back to part one. If you haven't seen part one, check it out. A lot has changed since then. I think Tanner also wasn't on that one. It was only me and Judson. But a lot has changed since then. You were playing for Colorado back then. This was back in 2020 when Corona hit, I think. Yeah, 2 years later, a little bit more than 2 years later, a lot has changed. What do you think the main thing you would say has changed about you personally?
There could be many ways I could go with it. I mean, football-wise, I mean, when you're a young player and you got 2 years of development behind you now, and I think I've developed a lot as a player, especially coming to Europe. You learn so much over here. As a person, it's mentally, you know, when you know it better than me because you've been out on your own longer. But yeah, when you got to move out on your own, it's you learn a lot about yourself. So that part's been fun.
Lots of people say like the rise to the top can be lonely at times, you know, and that's obviously where you're trying to go. Are you feeling that lonely aspect of it a little bit over there?
Yeah, just a bit. You know, these my parents were actually here last week, which was nice. But before that, some of these times over here by yourself, especially when it's not going well and you're not playing much, makes those weeks just a little bit longer. And, you know, every single day is kind of a grind. But like you said, to get to the top, most people wouldn't do this. And, you know, that's why we're not most people. And that's why, you know, I think we'll continue to push forward while others might stay stagnant or drop off. So, you know, it's a part of the grind, but, you enjoy it when you look back on it.
One thing I will say about Cole to the people who don't know too much is his mentality is killer. Obviously, if you don't know his story, I don't know exactly all the details, but I know you didn't necessarily make the Colorado Rapids Academy from the jump. You were playing with Colorado Rush, right? And then you kind of just grinded your way through it, made the Rapids Academy, obviously made the jump to the first team. And now, I mean, you're in Europe. I mean, no small feat, playing for a huge club, a club that, you know, made the Europa Conference League final last year. So, I mean, like I said, that's huge. But yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, I can definitely relate to you in terms of the homesickness. Now, let's make a small note that this episode came out a week later. And we're blaming Cole's parents for coming to visit him because he said he had to spend time with them. But, you know, I guess we'll let it slide this time. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, now that you're at Sittard, did you have to move again? Or are you able to stay at where you were staying in Feyenoord?
No, I wish, man. Rotterdam, I don't know if you've ever been, but it's a really good city. But, yeah, I had to move. It's like a two-hour drive. And from what I've heard talking to Mike, it's supposed to be pretty similar to where you're at. So I think we're living pretty similar lives right now in terms of very small town, nothing going on, purely football. And that's kind of what we're over here for, I guess. So there's really no distractions, which is nice. But at the same time, as a young 21-year-old, it's a little different than what most people get to experience.
You got that nice phone on the wall behind you. You can always reach out to other people, make some calls, you know.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know what this thing is. I haven't seen it work at all since I've been here. So it's a weird place, man. It's like a retirement home city is where I'm at.
Holland in general, though, are you liking it?
Yeah, for the most part. I think this country is probably a lot easier to move to than like where Johan is in Germany.
More westernized. Just
because, yeah, everybody speaks English here, which is, I mean, I wish I could learn the language, but it also is nice just in terms of football, you understand everything that they say. And then, yeah, like where I moved at the start, Rotterdam is very similar to an American city. So that place was actually easy to adapt to compared to, you know, other places in Europe.
Yeah, I have my boy Cole Bassett on B-Real. And if you could see the view from his Rotterdam apartment, I mean, he's living the life out there. I can't lie. Yeah. So I'm sure moving to a smaller city wasn't too easy. But so is that why your parents were there to help you move, or were you already settled in?
No, I was already settled in. They, my dad did well in his job, and his bonus was a free trip to Europe. So they paid for their flights over here, and yeah, they got to come visit me, which was nice. And like, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere, there's so many like towns around me within like an hour and a half. So we went to Dusseldorf and Antwerp, Eindhoven, all these like little towns, and you know that part was nice because where I'm at right now, there's nothing.
How far are you from Amsterdam?
Probably like 2 hours, I think.
Gotcha. You've been to the red lights district yet? You done your time there?
I took my mom through it, and she had no clue we were going through it. And I said, "Mom, look to your left." And then she looked over, and she was like, "Oh." And then there was a girl right there that was, obviously didn't have too much clothes on. So she was pretty mad at me after that one.
So you were having more of a good time than she was, I assume.
Yeah. Me and my dad were cracking up. I mean, those girls aren't like the best, but it was just pretty funny in the moment because, she was pretty horrified at that.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want to talk about your preseason situation because, the people who don't know, me and Cole share the same agent. So, I mean, you're updated with my situation as I am with yours. But Mike was telling me that it was a bit complicated. I don't know how much you could talk about this, but with FIFA, since you're on loan to Feyenoord, it's an 18-month loan, right? And then they were thinking about loaning you out. Obviously, they did loan you out to Sittard. They said it could be a bit complicated because Feyenoord didn't actually own you. So then I just know it could have been a roller coaster. So talk me through that, how that process was, not necessarily knowing where you were going to end up for the season.
Yeah, it was really weird because I came over and, my main motivation was have a good preseason and try to be a starter at Feyenoord this year before the World Cup. And 2 weeks into preseason, I had a talk with the trainer there, the coach. And, I just kind of – it was just a talk that he has with every player. And, I voiced kind of what I wanted, and that was to be a starter throughout the year with the World Cup coming up. And in his eyes, he didn't see me as a starter yet. He saw me playing games for them, but not in the role that I wanted to. So he said, if you want to go out on loan, I'm not going to hold you back. And it'll be good for us to see you play week in, week out in the Eredivisie. So, he was kind of pushing for it. And, it all happened pretty quickly at the start. Like within 2 weeks of preseason, I was already supposed to come here. But, like you said, it kind of fell through for a bit. So then I was back at Feyenoord and continued the rest of the preseason there. And, I ended up doing really well at the last four games. And then I think they were a little bit more iffy to let me go at that point because I was doing well. But, it came down to it at the end of the window that we could make the deal happen. And, I ended up here. And now it's been, I think, a month here. So, at some points, I wish in my mind, I kind of wanted to stay and push for a spot there because I think I could have, earned a starting role there. But with the World Cup, I kind of got into that mindset similar to Pepe where like you want to go play and show yourself at the same time my first month here has not been what I expected, so it's not been quite a linear, I'd say.
Yeah, but that's kind of the way it goes with footballers. It's not always linear, so I think if anything can get through it, it's you. And at the end of the day, you're still in a first division. It's a very competitive league, and I was going to ask you what you think about that league. I mean, even just this year has seen a lot of Americans go to it. You just mentioned Pepe yourself. Obviously, you went there last year, but now you're at another team. Taylor, amongst others. I mean, the Mexican who's now your teammate, Santi Jimenez. So you see more North American guys coming over to that league, maybe to develop and get pushed to other leagues. How do you see it, and how do you see the level of the Eredivisie compared to maybe an MLS?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the players, it's been cool to see, especially Feyenoord. Our GM was Dennis DeClose from – that used to be at LA Galaxy. I don't know if you knew him at all, but he was the Galaxy GM when I was still playing in MLS. And he just brought over the San Jose left back as well from Peru, Marcos Lopez. And then, we had Santi Jimenez as well. And it was just kind of cool for me to see that, they're trusting like our part of the world to bring them over here and compete for championships and trophies. So I enjoyed that. And then, yeah, I got to see Taylor last week. So we swapped jerseys as well. Cause I know he's going through a tough spot right now as well, not playing as much, but yeah, it's cool to see Americans over here. And then, yeah, MLS to Eredivisie. It's just two completely different styles. Like the top five or six, I'd say over here are above MLS. Like the Feyenoord, PSV, Ajax, maybe throwing like Heerenveen and Twente. And then the rest, like towards the bottom, I would say MLS has an up on most of the teams, to be honest. But, you know, you're playing in a league with these big teams that are so far above the rest and they're playing in Champions League and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, those clubs are crazy. And that's why, you know, you want to stay at Feyenoord. But sometimes you have to take a step back to take two forward, you know. So, yeah, I think it's different. MLS has more space and time to do what you want. And that's how all of Europe is. You know how it is. It's people are on you. You don't have as much time to do what you want to do.
Yeah, you see teams like Ajax yesterday going toe-to-toe with Liverpool in Anfield. How motivating is it? Just to change the subject a little bit, how motivating is it seeing players like in your team last year, Malasia, I mentioned, Sinisterra, the center back who went to Brighton, what's his name?
Yeah, Senesi.
Yeah. How motivating is it seeing those teammates of yours literally playing at now the highest level, the biggest league in the world? And do you feel like you can also reach those levels soon?
Yeah, I think so. Because when, you know, I came in at the time, you could say it was a good time or a bad time. Because I came in when we literally probably went undefeated besides Ajax for the entire season. And we had, you know, our team last year was stacked and we went to the conference final. You could say, oh, that kind of sucks because I never got to play as much as I wanted to. But at the same time, gosh, our team was a joke. I mean, you got Malasia, who's starting for United now. Sinisterra, I think, is starting for Leeds now. He's starting to break in. And Senesi, he started a couple games for Bournemouth here and there. And then, you know, I think we lost like three other guys as well that have went to different teams and stuff like that. But our first 11 was a joke. So it was pretty cool to be able to play with them week in, week out. And then you see them doing it in the Prem. And even guys like Brendan, like you've played with those guys when you're growing up. So you know you can be there, but you do have to show it week in, week out, because those guys, they have deserved it while they're there. But it is cool to see that you know you could be there as well.
You said you might not be exactly where you want to be right now in this exact moment, but take 5 years' time, where do you see yourself?
I would hope in the Premier League. I think for me, my goal is the Premier League. You know, as a young player, you always want to play in the top leagues. But yeah, like you said, the path isn't always linear. So you never really know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, I thought I was going to come here and play 90 minutes every single week. I think I've played 90 minutes total in four games. So yeah, that part's tough and mentally it's hard to deal with. But, you know, I think if you continue to work and like we talked about with the mentality piece, I feel like the ones that, you know, can keep that piece straight and stay mentally focused, they're kind of the ones that continue to rise to the top eventually.
Yeah. I just want to say,
one of your favorite teams growing up in the Prem, or how did that work out?
Yeah, I supported Arsenal when I was growing up. And I actually got to go on a trial there as well, which was nice. So, I mean, that part was pretty cool as a kid growing up. And then you get to go train with all these guys that you watch on TV every week. But, you know, now it's a little different when you get to our age, because you never know where you could move. If you are playing well and the team wants you. So it's kind of hard to support a team now when you're playing professionally. But yeah, that was it when I grew up.
What did you think of the All or Nothing?
I love that documentary. Was I love all those, like we can relate to them so much with, like, you know, the day in day out life. But I love the standards that they set, because that was similar to Feyenoord. And then, like, I came here and I saw, you know, the difference between a really top club and then like just a regular Eredivisie club or European club. And it makes you want to be there, though. Like, I don't know how it made you feel in terms of that stuff, but watching how Mikel coaches, yeah, it seemed pretty cool. And it's, you know, where you want to work towards. I mean, I don't know how you felt watching that, but that's kind of what I was thinking.
I mean, I just feel like every documentary makes you want to be like a fan of that team, because it's just, yeah, like so passionate. You feel like you're bonding with the players. Yeah, like you said, yeah. Mikel Arteta is in another world. I mean, what a coach. I think that's why they're doing so well now. It's cool to see. I wish, honestly, they would have done it this year because I played with Fabio Vieira in Porto, and now he's there.
Oh, you did?
And, yeah. He played youth league with us. Okay. Yeah, see what he's like. I played with him a little bit in Porto B also, but, yeah, I know he got his debut, I think, against United, I think it was, and he did pretty well. So it's always interesting to see. That's why I was asking you what you feel like with Malasia and guys like that because, you know, guys like for me, Fabio Vieira and guys like that from Porto, seeing them do really well at the highest levels, like, it's kind of more of a motivation because you feel like you're that close, you know? You train with them day in, day out. You don't tell yourself, like, oh, I'm better than them or whatever, but you know, like, you're at that
you
level.
You could be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Were you at Vitinha as well or no?
Yeah, Vitinha. So there's a picture on my Instagram. They came down in youth league, and Vitinha and Fabio Vieira were there, and Vieira was the captain. So I think it was insane. And Vitinha is I'm not gonna say much about Fabio Vieira. He's a great guy, but Vitinha was like ultra humble, ultra humble. Like yeah, and different level too. Like I remember, you know how it is. Like at a high level, it can be kind of like cutthroat. They expect you to know how to do things. Like it's like if you lose the ball, they're gonna like kind of look at you, kind of think it twice before playing it to you. But I remember Vitinha. Yeah. It was my first game, I think, with them, and he was playing with us. And I didn't really speak the language yet, so he came to me and spoke to me in English, and he was telling me, like, where he needed me to move. And I thought that was so sick, and obviously he is where he is now. But, yeah, I mean, I think you know soccer gives a lot of – football gives a lot of turns. The world of football turns a lot, so you never know where you're going to end up. I was looking at – because I keep up, obviously, with your season, but I didn't know Yilmaz plays with your team now. That's a pretty big player, no? But he's pretty old now.
Yeah, I think he's late 30s, something like that. But yeah, he's played for a ton of big clubs. He won the Ligue 1 in France with Lille a couple of years ago when they beat PSG. So, you know, he's done it at a top level. He is older now, but yeah, it's just nice to be able to, you know, get to know people that have been through the game and played at the highest level and kind of what you can learn from them and stuff like that.
I know. For all of us, at least as a kid, you get so starstruck thinking about these big players. For me, I've even experienced this a little bit through my business, through this, other things. You get to meet them, and they're really just normal people that you can talk to. Mm-hmm. At what point for you guys do you feel like you'll stop being starstruck kind of, or do you still feel starstruck when meeting these players?
Sometimes. I think at the start, like, I don't know, if you're playing against players, during warm-ups, I feel starstruck. But then when I'm out in the game, I don't. If you're in training, I really think it just takes, like, one conversation and you're kind of out of it. But then again, I've never been with, like, a, you know, top player that's, like, I don't know, a Ronaldo or somebody that's done it for that long. I guess Tim Howard. I did have Tim, and when I was 17, that was kind of, you know, as a young guy, this guy just at the last World Cup made like 14 saves or whatever it was versus Belgium. So you were a little starstruck by that. But all it takes, I think, is one conversation with a guy. Kind of like what Johan just said. Vitinha, maybe I doubt he was starstruck because they're similar age. But like he comes down, one conversation in English, then, you know, you feel comfortable with him or at least have some sort of bond. So I don't think it takes too long, especially once they respect you on the field as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of the World Cup, I'm sure you've seen the U.S. roster dropped, and you don't have to give an answer because I know you're a very like low key guy. But do you feel like there were any snubs on that roster?
I think it's tough. The number nine position is so
a lot of people are mad about Jordan.
Yeah, because they're top of the league, right, in Germany.
Yeah, they are top of the league.
He's playing well as well, but I know they don't want to give up on Pepe just yet, so it's tough.
Yeah, because I mean I'm good. I mean I'm not as good of friends with Pepe as you are. But I mean it was at least good to see him get called back in. I was a little bit surprised that because he's only played one game recently, but that was good for him. I mean that number nine position is tough. Like I have no clue who is going to go. Maybe Jesus is the only one that's like. Maybe
Josh
ahead of others.
Playing well too.
Yeah, and Vasquez in MLS. I mean, you can't ignore the goals that he's been scoring. So I don't know those guys personally. I only know Jesus and Pepe. But you know that number nine position was probably the only one where I saw snubs, but I mean, he's got to make a decision on who he wants, so it's a tough one. I think everything else is kind of self-explanatory. I don't know what you do. You think there was any that I'm missing?
Cole Bassett and Johan Gomez for me, but
I wish we could say that, but
hey, they
we're
might need to
being
consider
honest.
you for they might need to consider you for the ninth position, because did you play with in a game where Jesus and Pepe played against Bosnia, and weren't you the goal scorer?
The lone goal.
Yeah. I
I
mean,
don't know.
I haven't like I. It's one of those situations like we're talking about earlier, where you play with these players, so you know 100% you could be there. Like, I know I could be in that, but my performances, I haven't played, and they don't validate being in there right now. So, I wish I could say I was a snub, but I don't think right now I am.
I want to take a moment to honestly respect what you're saying, because even when I wasn't playing and stuff like that, I had a hard time talking about it, especially on here. I think a lot of players, even I'm not gonna diss anybody, but when you reach out to players on here on Chum Chat, they'll be like, when everything's going well, they'll be like, yeah, like let's make it happen. And all of a sudden, maybe a transfer happens or whatever, and they're not playing anymore, and they shy away from it. They don't want to talk about it anymore. They don't want to get in front of the camera. And I try to tell them, yo, we're gonna do our best we can to make you look good. We want you to talk about your situation. We want people to understand what you're thinking, what you're going through. And so I respect you for coming on. Obviously, we're boys, but yeah, I think a lot of people kind of shy away from it. Even myself, it's maybe hard to talk about. But
Oh, it is, man.
going a little bit into that, how's your confidence right now? I know that can be it can be tough when you're not playing. How's it? How's it looking?
I mean, yeah, basing off of what you just said, like, it is tough for some players because, especially when you're overseas and even when just random friends ask you, how are you doing over there? How's the new situation? It's hard to respond sometimes because, you want to feel like everything's going well, but yeah, it's really not. I mean, confidence for me, I actually do feel like that part is good. I've maintained confidence, but the situation that's happened here in the last month with, I don't know if you followed up with any of this stuff, but a coach brought me here, and 3 days after I got here, he got fired 3 games into the season. So for me, I mean, Europe is cutthroat, but I've never quite seen that cutthroat, especially when we played Ajax the first game, which is a very good team, Twente the second game away, which is another top four team. And then we lost the first three. So I think it was a little bit weird to me to see the coach that brought me in here leave. And then we've had interim coaches along the way, but yeah, mentally it's been tough, man. I think you guys have probably hit me. If you talked to me on Sunday, you probably would have hit me at my lowest point, like throughout maybe the last couple of years that I've been in. But I mean, you guys caught me at a, I guess, a good time to come on here because it's not always easy, like you said. I think it's good when certain people, share their experiences about it's not always like this, like we talked about. It keeps going like this, up and down. You have all these highs, but the lows are just as low as those. So yeah, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, even myself included, I mean, I've had talks at length with Mike and other people along the way, my brother included, about how sometimes football can be not fair. Life in general isn't fair, we know that. But even some people will look at a guy and be like, man, he's living the dream, or he's making all this money, or XXX or whatever. But at the end of the day, what a lot of people don't realize is all we want to do is we want to play. Like, no matter where we're at, we just want to play. And so obviously, yeah, like you can look at the tangible things, the money or whatever, like what you see on social media or whatever it may be, but they don't see everything else is behind the scenes. You living away from your family, you having to move to a smaller city in the middle of the season to accommodate yourself to get into a new club, maybe not playing immediately. So I think that's important for people to know, because you can't always talk about the great things that happen. When people ask you for interviews, they're like, yeah, so how is this new move? Like, how are you thinking about the World Cup or all this? But I think, yeah, it's important for people to see both sides. It's not all, glitz and glamour.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I don't want this. I know I'm the one being interviewed, but just looking at like what you did, like most people, like it's good to see that you were not concerned about what anybody else thought. Like for you, playing time is the biggest key, and like I respect, like you see all these guys at Dallas, getting hyped up because they're in MLS and they like to hype the homegrowns up. and they're playing and they're close to home with their family. And you chose, you know, Porto was a really good club, but after that, going to a small town in Germany, and you did really well last year, and then you were injured, right, in preseason, or yeah, and then you come back and you score in the derby. But like these moves that you go do, and you're sacrificing so much being away from people, living in a small town by yourself, but you're doing it because you know eventually it's gonna get, you know, hopefully where you want to go. But yeah, a lot of people don't realize how tough it is on young athletes, especially. You know, we're on the complete opposite side of the world from our families, and we're trying to go for one goal. And yeah, social media, it's hard for some people to realize, you know, what we're sacrificing, because everybody always posts the good stuff, you know. They don't ever post the bad stuff that's never on the timeline. So yeah, I wish more
Exactly.
people could know that.
Exactly. And I appreciate those words, but this is more of a personal question. We have to keep this in. Do you have a girl?
I don't. I wish I did right now. Like being in this small town, man, I wish I had a girl.
The girl
But
from the red lights district, huh?
that might be too much for me. I don't know. I mean, it's tough having American girlfriends, though. I feel like I would have to have one over here, because like all the American girls our age are in university. So like they're not gonna move over here, and they're going to parties every weekend, so it's kind of hard to like, they kind of want to stay single. It's hard for them to do long distance. I mean, maybe if there's a girl chum chat followers, just maybe hit the DMs or something.
Yeah, hit my boy Cole the DMs. How is the scene there? Do you get recognized often when you're in Rotterdam?
In Rotterdam, yes. Here, no, not at all. Yeah, like I even got pulled over by police today, and they had no clue like who our club was.
Really?
Which,
Man,
bro,
they
do
still
you in
gave you the
Germany?
ticket.
No, they gave me a warning. But do you have this in Germany? Your car has to be like, it has to have a checkup yearly so that it's able to drive. Like in America, we don't have that, but
It
it's
has to
like
be
a required checkup.
like an eco-friendly
Yes.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But so Sittard, the club, gave me a car, and I just got here a month ago, and they gave me a car that's like expired, like in terms of that. And then the police somehow, like, I wasn't speeding or anything, but they pulled me over because they searched up my license plate, and I happened to just be driving next to them, and my car's not registered. So yeah, they pulled me over, and they didn't recognize me. But in Rotterdam, yeah, like if you walk throughout the city center, those fans they're the best, man. That's why I want to go back there so bad, because they really love the game.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but I could have sworn, Chris, can you confirm you do need a yearly checkup for your car in the US
Dude.
also, no? I
I
swear you do.
know
I've been driving
you guys still
illegally
argue out of touch. Yeah, you do. You need to get your sticker. You need to
then. Yeah, I was
it's
like,
been a
I could have
while for you
sworn
guys, but yeah, you definitely still need
you. That's hilarious.
yeah. I've been driving illegally then, man. So that's not good. Plus my US driver's license just expired because I turned 21. So it just expired. So they were also like, your license expired. I was like, I'm screwed here. But I got let off.
That's good. Speaking of back home, let's touch on Colorado a little bit. Obviously, you still pertain to them. We were speaking to Kellen recently. Well, before we get into that, do you keep up with them? Do you keep up with MLS in Colorado?
Yeah, I normally watch, like, you know, I'm bored here, so I'll watch the highlights on YouTube every
Who
week.
do you think will win MLS this season?
That's a tough one, because the LAFC I thought were so far and beyond everybody, but they've dropped off recently. I think it really depends on who gets into the playoffs in the West. I'm gonna take a team out of the West just because, I don't know, we've like, being in the West, I always felt like the West was tougher than the East. Maybe people like
Isn't
come at
Philly
me for
really
that,
good
but
though?
yeah, so I feel like the top of the East is really good, but I feel like once you get like after six, I feel like all those teams like aren't as good. And like the West, even though like Houston's not like as good, you know, but if you have to go away to Houston, like that's not an easy game in the middle of the summer. So I just feel like the West, like throughout the whole division, is tougher, especially when you have to go away to those teams. So I'm gonna go, gosh, who's number two in the West right now? Austin. Oh no, I don't think it's gonna be Austin. I could see it being, bro, if Seattle gets in, I could see them making a run like they did. The I just
They
don't know if they'll
always make
get,
a run though. They always end up in
they
the
got the
final or something.
DNA.
Yeah, I just don't know if they'll get in. I'm gonna go Seattle or Portland. Again, I just
That's a
those two
safe
teams.
bet.
I don't know. Those two teams are always so good in playoffs. So we'll see.
Okay, now we gotta get. I don't know if this is a hard question, but so Kellen was very transparent with how he dealt with Colorado. I don't know if you watched that episode or saw any clips, but he was basically talking how, Colorado had kept him in the dark about certain transfer opportunities or whatnot, and he didn't know where his next move was gonna be. He wanted to leave to Europe. Colorado was like, eh. And so he ended up kind of leaving through the, or I think they traded him to LAFC
Yeah,
without
and
him
he
knowing,
was left
something
in
like
the
that.
dark.
Yeah, left
He
in the
found out through
dark.
social media. Are you, do
Yeah.
you feel at times you might be left in the dark by some of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, or do you feel like they're pretty transparent about everything with you?
Colorado or just clubs in general?
Colorado.
No, Colorado with me was pretty transparent. I think I was in a different situation than Kellen. Like, I was kind of, me and Sammy Vines were, they always called us like the face of the club. All the players joked like that, but I think we were treated a little differently than Kellen. And I'm really good friends with Kellen. I was with him during the time that that was happening. We were at camp together, and yeah, I don't know exactly everything that happened, but it did seem a little bit tough in a situation because I know he's wanted to go to Europe for so long, but I don't know all the details on exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think also, I mean, I don't know how, what you think about this, but I think Mike has pretty good connections there with Colorado, so I think that could have helped also maybe facilitate the process. And I know you were pushing pretty hard, weren't you, to leave?
Yeah, I mean, like, I loved Colorado, but at the same time, yeah, I wanted to go to Europe pretty bad, and I felt like it was the right time, in terms of, we helped the club. I mean, when I came into the league, we were dead last, and then we finished first last year, so I felt like I helped the club get to a point where, they were doing well, and then I think it was time to move on. So, I was pushing pretty hard, but if it didn't happen, I was still gonna, stay in Colorado and be around my family for another year. So that's not the worst.
Feyenoord is crazy. When I saw that, I was like, damn, like that's a huge club.
Yeah,
So
I don't know if most people knew how big it, like, even to be fair, like, I didn't even realize how big of a club it was until I really like got here and experienced it. Like, I heard about them a lot when I was younger, and I came here one time when I was like 13, but man, the size of that club and the passion of the fans, it's like most people, if I told them in America that even like new soccer, oh, I'm going to Feyenoord, they might be like, maybe I've heard of them. Like, they'll say, oh, they're in the same league as Ajax, but they don't know them too well. But yeah, it's that club is, they're a top club, man.
what's the main differences in like the level of the play or training that you saw between the MLS and the Eredivisie?
I mean, I can't really speak on it here because this club's been different, but at Feyenoord, that coach, I would be very surprised if he's not in the Prem or some top league very soon, because yeah, his training intensity, like I was used to in MLS, we'd normally train hard like a Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday is like pretty light. And it was also more like bigger spaces, kind of what like the games are like you have a lot more space and time on the ball, and it's more athletes and stuff like that. But at Feyenoord, it was so much tight spaces. Like, we used to play 11v11 in, like, I swear it was like box on box. Like, we had so many players in the tightest area, and he just emphasized being so good in tight spaces to break teams down. And it helped me a lot in that sense, and I do miss their training a bunch because it's so much like Rondo, but he teaches you how to play it the right way, so you actually like really enjoy it. It's not like going for megs and a bunch of flicks and stuff like that. Like, you're really playing to like put 60 passes on the guys in the middle, and that way is honestly, I've enjoyed that a lot more.
What do you think it'll take for the US to reach that level of a stage in football?
I mean, one maybe could do with the pressure, in terms of, like, I don't know if fans put enough pressure on clubs, and also there's no promotion relegation. So, like, if you're a club at the bottom, like this year in MLS, like the teams that are at the bottom, they're not fighting to not get relegated and lose money. So I think, there's not as much of a sense of urgency of what they have to do each week. But also, I don't know exactly what it is, Johan. I'd kind of be curious to see what you think in terms of, like, The difference for me is how much people put pressure on you and like how intense the matches are. But I don't really know how MLS could up that. Because like playoffs MLS is similar and there's very good players in MLS. But like throughout the regular season, sometimes games are not like at the highest intensity that they could be. But here it's like week in, week out. I
Yeah, it's
don't
like a
know how
war.
MLS could do that. Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
you think it is just promotion relegation? I don't know.
I mean, I think it has to be. I think, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think implementing that, I know it's the state of MLS isn't to that level yet where they can implement that because owners won't want to buy into teams because they'll lose a lot of money or whatever.
Yeah,
But
100%.
I mean, you're seeing Sacramento Republic going all the way to the US Open Cup final. Like the USL has a good level. So, I mean, there's a good infrastructure in the USL. You're seeing where my brother played Louisville City. That stadium is crazy. Like that infrastructure, that club is insane. So I think there is a future for promotion relegation, and I think that's how it has to be because once you implement promotion relegation, every game will matter. Like you won't be able to have, and I haven't seen Gareth Bale play. I just happened to read a tweet before getting on this that people were saying that he's looking lazy and not really caring. So you can't have those, you can't buy into those players anymore. You're gonna have to do your research and say, okay, will this player die for my team if I need him to? Or is he just a guy who's like here to collect some money, go play golf, you know, stuff like that. So I think that definitely would take the league into the next level. I know they're probably quite a ways away from that, but I think whatever people can do to push that, I think it would be super important for the league and the country in general. Once you're pushing that mentality in within like within the whole footballing world in America, I think people will understand that because once you get to Europe, I don't think people really understand what a relegation battle is like. Like you don't really understand the pressure that you're under. Like
Yeah, I
people
mean,
lose
what,
jobs.
how is your team this year? Like, because
My
me and
team.
Tanner are going, or Tanner's not going through it now, but he did last year, and then I am this year. I don't, how is your team
So my
in the
team
table?
didn't go through it that much last year. Right now we're supposed to have a weaker team, so we're projected by like everyone to get relegated this year. We're like mid-table right now, kind of. That's where we ended last year, and that's really good because we have one of the smallest budgets in the league.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. That's the main thing. A lot of teams, I don't know if you've heard or if your club is now is like this, but a lot of teams are like, okay, our goal is to stay in the league. We're not really looking for promotion or anything else, anything special. Like, let's stay in the league because we need that money. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing though. That's the culture. Every club is different, but it means the same to every club just to fight. And so I think that's the main difference. I mean, how do you feel? We spoke about this with Arner, Tanner's friend who played at Venezia. He was a lone player at Venezia. Obviously, it's still new in the season, but you could find yourself in a relegation battle. How do you see that as a lone player? Like, are you able to feel that as much, considering you're not a full-time part of that team?
Yeah, I think you have to. Like, especially, like, we have some pretty good fans, actually, especially in one section here. And, you know, I think if you're at a club and you don't, like, buy into what they are as a club and buy into their history and their fans and just their culture, then I don't think you should really be there. Because, I mean, if you're just totally invested in yourself while you're there, yeah, it may benefit yourself, but I think you'll benefit more from it if you really buy into what you got going on there. So for me, I mean, yeah, right now we're bottom of the table right now. We haven't won a game in six games. So I do want to help this team get where we should be. And we definitely have the players to be a mid-table team. But yeah, it's a tough spot right now for us. So we're gonna have to fight out of it. And we definitely feel the pressure. We've had three coaches already this season, so there's been a lot of pressure from fans, but I think you enjoy it as a player sometimes. Like it is hard at the bottom of the table compared to the top, but pressure is pressure, and you know that's kind of what we live off of.
So we talked about the importance of pro rel, obviously, for US soccer. Do you think that having other sports above soccer, football in the US can kind of conflict with that? Because
Yeah, I think it's tough because over here, I mean, if you look at some of these athletes that are playing for some of these top clubs, there's no way they'd be playing soccer in the US. I'm trying to think of a big team.
But
Like
for
even if
example,
you, yeah, you have one.
yeah, I mean, the other way around, if you took LeBron James and put him in goal, I don't think, you know what I mean? Or like, I don't know how much you guys are paying attention to the NFL, but if you put Tyreek Hill he trained soccer his whole life and went on the wing, things might look very different. Whereas over there, you know, you guys might not have that. I know another big thing is I'm living that college life, as we discussed before. I go to a big SEC school, University of Arkansas, Wupig. That is probably the only sport that I see where the fans can kind of get close to the level of where you guys are reaching in Europe for soccer. I know college sports, and that's a lot of that is because everybody's in the same hometown. With the U.S. being spread out, like, for example, for football, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, but Johan, I assume you were the same. But we live miles and miles and miles away. You think the U.S. landscape could be a reason for that as well?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, where you grow up, but I don't know. I just think Europe, it's they live and breathe one sport. So it is tough. Like, those definitely do conflict. But yeah,
like is a guy saying, is a guy from definitely. Wyoming? Is a guy from Wyoming finna be a footballer type thing? You know what I mean? No. Yeah, shout out my Wyoming guys if y'all are watching. I don't know. That was the first state I thought of, but yeah, you don't really see that.
It's got to be the area. It's got to be the area you grow up in. But it's like over here, all they know is football. So I don't know. But yeah, the guy I was thinking of, if we go to Germany, like Bayern center back, Upamecano. Like, he's not playing soccer if he's in America. There's no way. So yeah, I mean, it's just that those type of things. So that's why I think they have an advantage because everybody plays soccer, but we also do have so many people in America. So I think that's why we're catching up eventually.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think it's been great so far. I'm a wrap it up so I can let you watch Champions League. But we're just one more fan question here, and then just one more personal one. But someone asked, what's your formula of success for football?
It's going back to the original chump chat right there.
Well, I still got to ask you that one, but this is a fan one.
Yeah, it's close to it. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's all about what I can control. I think, you know, especially what I've learned in the last month is there's been a lot of things that I haven't been able to process really well in my head, and it's all been out of my control. It's stuff that was going on outside the scenes with other people. And for me, the things that I can solely work on is how much work I put into it off the field in terms of my body and in the gym and stuff like that, and then also, you know, after training on the pitch. So I think those two things are the things, along with my mentality, that continue to give me success and hopefully give me success in the future.
That's a good answer. And now I have to ask you our signature question. What is your definition of success, and do you think you've achieved it yet?
Not even close to achieved it. And, you know, hopefully when you look back at your career, you can say you achieved it. But even then, I still feel like a lot of players, if they really are ambitious, I don't think they'll look back and say they achieved everything they wanted to. But for me, you know, with what I want to achieve, success is so far away from it. And, you know, maybe I'll go to the, have you ever seen the quote from Matthew McConaughey? Of like, you know, I'm chasing that me of
myself 10 in
now.
10 years. Yeah, of course.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, for me, like in 10 years from now, I want to be able to say I played at a World Cup and played in Champions League and being a consistent starter in Europe. But, you know, for me, success defined, I think when I look back on my career will be, you know, what I put into the game. You know, I think if I had to sum it up in a simple sentence, if I give everything that I have, with my mentally and also physically, I think, you know, I'll be able to look back and say, you know, I had success with what I've done.
I like that. It's a good answer.
It's not the best answer, but the Matthew McConaughey, you know, looking 10 years ahead, I feel like it'll just never be satisfied. Success.
That's
the
thing.
It's hard to reach, man. Have you ever read Tim Grover before, his books? He was Michael Jordan's trainer.
I don't think I have. Are you putting me on right now?
Yeah. If you want to read like a good book on like mindset, I just finished one of his books. And like, yeah, his biggest thing is the book was all about winning. And it's like winning puts you on a pedestal when you get there, and it feels so good, but it gets taken from you so quick. I mean, if I just look at my career, I get called in the national team. I score my first goal. I move to Feyenoord. I'm on top of the world. I haven't started a regular competitive game in like 8 months. Or I guess I just did, but for like 8 months, I didn't start. And it's like you're at such a high point in your life, but then, you know, the lows, it just takes you right back down. And it's so hard to get back to that success, but it's the journey along the way. You have to enjoy it because that's the part that makes winning so much sweeter and the success. So maybe that's a better answer than my first.
That's
one,
a good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
And I want to shout out my mom real quick because she has a good saying, and it kind of goes along with what you were saying. And to all my athletes out there that are coming up that are watching this, I know some ballers watch this. Shout out Caden Clark. I know he said he's a big fan of Chump Chat. But, yeah, if you're coming up, my mom always says, you know, don't step on people on your way up because you're going to find them again on your way down. And so that's so true. I mean, if you're going on your way up, stay humble, stay, you know, 10 toes down, because like Cole said, as you can look at so many examples, you're not going to be there forever. You know, even Ronaldo, he's been there 20 years. I don't know how long, 15 years, and he's, you know, finally declining a little bit. So, you know, you always got to stay humble and true to yourself. And I think Cole's a prime example of that. So that's why you guys are going to see him succeed. But I think we've kept him on for a while now, a solid hour. So if you guys liked the episode, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. We'll pop up Cole's socials throughout the video. So you'll have his Instagram and everything else will be linked in the description. If y'all liked Chris as a co-host, make sure to show him some love in the comments. And yeah, Chump Chat is back, baby. Let us know who you guys want us to interview in the DMs. And as we always say, go find your own success. Deuces.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.